we've been considering treasure in jars of clay. And that's from 2 Corinthians 4:7. Talking about treasure in jars of clay. And one thing we've established is that the treasure is the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God is the treasure that resides in the jars of clay. What are the jars of clay? What are the earthen vessels that the scripture talks about? Us. We're like clay jars. And with the characteristics that come with clay jars or clay mugs or clay cups, we can be brittle, we can be broken, name it, but for the Holy Spirit that resides in us, that is the key and the significant difference. Amen. Today I want to talk about an interesting personality in the scripture. You know, over the month, we've been looking at what it means to have this treasure in you. That of yourself, you're not sufficient. And even that song said so. It said, by myself, it won't work. Lord, I need your help. We read that, you know, our sufficiency is of God. It's God that makes us, you know, sufficient. Of ourselves, we're nothing. There's a gentleman in the scriptures. His name is Jacob. And for a title, we're talking about Jacob and Israel. Jacob and Israel. Now, you look at this guy, Jacob. We're not talking about two different people. We're talking about the same person. But they're two different personalities. One and the same person. Two different life experiences. Jacob and Israel. Before I even say anything, if you're going to take anything away, take this point that in every Jacob, there's an Israel. In every Jacob, there is an Israel. Amen. In every Jacob, there is an Israel. Like I said, these are not two different personalities. They're not two different individuals. But we see two different personalities. What does the name Jacob, what does it mean? I'm sure we all remember from Sunday school, talking about Esau and Jacob. And I already heard someone say supplanter. I think until I grew up, I never really knew what the word supplanter meant. You know, but you know, you hear supplanter, a cheat. Heel catcher, heel, as in your heel. A heel catcher. Jacob, heel catcher, supplanter, a cheat, a deceiver, a defrauder, someone that defrauds, a fraudulent guy. In some contexts, the phrase they'll use, 419, that, you know, the guy is a serious advance fee fraud guy. That's what Jacob meant. And then there's the other personality, Israel. What does Israel mean? Prince with God. The name Israel actually comes from the Jewish word Yisrael. Sar means prince, leader, ruler, one who prevails. El is about God. So, one who prevails, a prince with God. And you're wondering, how can you have two personalities? One, a cheat, a defrauder, a fraudulent guy, a deceiver, and another personality, a prince with God. Something had to have happened. There had to have been a turning point. There had to have been something significant taking place to move from one place to another. Now, quickly, let's think about the circumstances of Jacob's birth. If we go to Genesis chapter 25, we'll just look at the 24th to 26th verse. Genesis 25. It says, so when her days, now this is speaking about Rebekah, the mother of Esau and Jacob. It says, so when her days were fulfilled for her to give birth, indeed there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red. It was like a hairy garment all over. So they called his name Esau. Afterward, his brother came out, and his hand took hold of Esau's heels. So his name was called Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old when she bore them. Right from birth, you see a Jacob that was pretty much very ambitious, that pretty much wanted everything for himself. So even the fact that he wasn't the firstborn, he didn't want to let go of the firstborn. Ambition can be good, but within God. Jacob, you know, he held on to his brothers. He was like, you know what? You're not going without me. If he had had the opportunity, he would have pushed him out of the way. And as much as he couldn't do that, he held on. That's the circumstance of his birth. And was given the name Jacob. A deceiver. A fraudster. We have to ask ourselves, at the point he was born, why would they give him that name? I'm very particular about names. You know, the names we call ourselves. Some of us, we have some very fantastic nicknames. And you have to ask yourself, what are you saying with your nickname? This guy, before he could do anything, was called a deceiver. And you look at his life, how did he live his life? Was it one, you know, full of deception? Yes. Was it one full of, you know, trying to get one up on the other person? Yes. That's the life he lived. In the same Genesis 25, if you look at verse 29, I'm sure these twins, I mean, my mother was a twin, I'm sure we all know twins. Some twins get along well, and some are very, there's a lady at the back, she's looking out for her husband, because her husband is a twin. And there's some twins that, you know, you wonder, are these guys even related? Because the way they're always at each other's neck, it's scary. Competition. In Genesis 25, verse 29, we read about an incident between these twins, Jacob and Esau. It says, now Jacob cooked a stew, and Esau came in from the field, and he was weary. He was tired. He was tired. And Esau said to Jacob, please. Growing up, I was taught to always say please and thank you. I know you kind of get the impression if you're very polite and courteous, you'll get what you want. Esau was like, please feed me with that same red stew, for I'm weary, I'm tired. And therefore his name was called Edom. And Jacob said, sell me your birthright as of this day. And I'm thinking to myself, you've been out working all day. You're tired. You're hungry. You come in. Your sibling is cooking, making a meal. And you're like, you know what? Please let me have a bit of it. And he or she says to you, give me your room. You know, the new clothes you just got. Give it to me. The money Dad promised you, you'll give me 5% of it. Whenever Mom gives you, you know, all the jewelries, you have sister, right? Whenever, you know, Mom's jewelries, if she gives you any, we'll use it together. I'm just hungry. And that's what I've asked. Jacob was like, sell me your birthright today. Now, that was a big deal. But I'm thinking from hunger to birthright, what is the correlation? None. I think this guy was cruel, if we can call it anything. He was a cruel guy. I'm hungry, and the first thing he says, I like your car. Give me your car. I'll give you food. You know that 36,000-pound car you just got? Give it to me. Birthright is worth more than that. I'm hungry. I like that house you just built. Let me have your house. Although I guess his brother also had issues, right? Is anything worth you know, man, I'll go and drink water and drink as much as I can. And then I'll go and cook for myself. But he probably thought to himself, I'm about to die. Of what use? And that's where he has his own issues. Of what use is birthright to me? And I was like, okay, give me the food. You can have the birthright. That's the first thing Jacob did. Supplanter, deceiver, a defrauder, a cheat. As if that wasn't enough. Further down the line, by the time we get to Genesis chapter 27, you can read from verses 1 to 19. The father had grown, you know, he had gotten old. And he said, okay, I'm going to bless my children. He wanted to bless his children. He told one of his sons, you know, Esau was a hunter. He liked killing game, and the father enjoyed his meals. He said, you know what? Go get me something to eat. Go get me something to eat so I can bless you. And Esau went to go and do that. Can you ask the person next to you, who is the key influence in your life? Ask. Who is the key influence in your life? You know why I say that? You look at these two twins. We're told that the mother really, really loved one. And the father really, really loved the other. Right? Now, the father had an affinity for Esau. Why? Because Esau knew how to hunt. And he was going out and getting, you know, fantastic meat. Where I come from, we call them bushmeat. And you, I pause and I laugh because, do you remember when the Ebola incidents happened? Man, I'm sure those animals would have been glad. People would have stopped, you know, all the bushmeat eating. But yeah, you know, we call them game bushmeat. Esau was good at catching these animals and preparing them, and the father enjoyed eating them. So he loved Esau because of that. The Bible tells us that Rebecca loved Jacob. Parents, we need to be careful. We really need to be careful so that we don't take sides. So that we don't. Is it possible not to love one child more than the other? I believe so. I totally believe so. I believe you can love your children equally. I love my children equally. It is very possible. Now, yes, one child might do some things which you don't like, but I'm sure there's so many things he or she would do that you love. And the other child that is doing that thing would also be doing certain things you don't like. Don't let us show preferential treatment to our children. I mean, in the case of these guys, it brought, you know, a split in that home. We've seen siblings literally killing each other because parents show, you know, favoritism. Rebecca really, really loved Jacob. Isaac wanted to bless his firstborn. Now, remember, Jacob had sold his birthright. He sold his birthright. What comes with a birthright in Israel at that time is you get a double portion. So, I have a will. I have £1 million. My firstborn, I'll give 2/3 of that, a double portion. And possibly 1/3 will go to the other child. If I have 10 children, the first one will still get a double portion. And the rest will share whatever is left. That was how it worked. So it was a big deal to be the firstborn. Any firstborns in the house? No? See there. Any last borns in the house? Praise the Lord. We know ourselves. God loves us equally. Huh? The way he loves the first, so he loves the last. Yes? He loves us equally. But that was how it worked. Someone said, what about the people in the middle? So from the first to the last, he loves us equally. And you have a, the Bible says that even before you were born, he knew you. So God has a plan for each and every one of us, irrespective of our position, irrespective of our birth position. We're loved by God. Amen. Isaac wanted to bless Esau. He said, go kill game and bring it for me. And the guy went to do that. His mother heard. And very worrying. His mother heard the father saying, go do something, I'm going to bless you. And what did she do? She called Jacob. She was like, you know what? This is what your father is planning to do. He wants to bless your brother. So you know what we're going to do? We're going to trick him. You're going to go instead. When I said influences, in, I think it's verse 13 of that chapter. Can we have a look at Genesis 27, verse 13? It says, but his mother said to him, actually, verse 12. This is Jacob speaking. It says, perhaps my father will feel me, and I shall be seen to be a deceiver to him. Remember, his name is Deceiver. And I shall bring curse on myself and not a blessing. The plan the mother came up with is, you know what? We'll put some, you know, hair on you so that you're like Esau. And Jacob said, what if my father kind of touches me and finds out I'm not Esau? He'll curse me. What did the mother say? But his mother said to him, let your curse be on me, my son. Only obey my voice and go get them for me. Get me what I've told you. I will take the curse, if there is any curse. I will take the curse. And you kind of wonder, what kind of influence is that? I will take the curse. Let it be on me. Just do what I say. May God bless us with godly parents. Not parents that, you know, that will lead us astray. And may God bless us with godly children. Let this sin, let this curse be on me, my son. Whatever goes wrong, I'll take it, no matter how bad it is. Was Jacob innocent in the old matter? No. Jacob was not innocent. Yes, the mother said, let the curse be on me. But Jacob was not innocent because he still went along. The actual deception was by Jacob. So the father is asking him, please, when you get home, read that Genesis 27. Very interesting story. The father was like, hang on. The voice is kind of different. Is it really you, Esau? And he was still saying, yes, it's me. All right, so come near me. Let me touch you. Let me see. He did not have to do that. He didn't have to do it. So even though the mother said, let the curse be on me, she was guilty. He was guilty. The reality is that at the end of the day, she died without seeing her son for over 20 years. That's the reality. If that's not a curse, I'm not sure what is. In those days, we didn't have emails and, you know, FaceTime and what have you, WhatsApp chat. And so he was far away. He was far away. There wouldn't have been communication. She did not see him again until she died. But she called a curse upon herself. Jacob went along. He deceived his father. What influences your choices? There are people that influence us in life, but at the end of the day, we make a call. We make a call. So that sometimes we're aware of the choices before us and we choose what we want. And that's just the reality. We know certain things are wrong, but we'll still do it anyway. Even when we've been taught right, there's a story in 2 Chronicles chapter 8. Verse 11, 2 Chronicles 8, 11. I found this interesting about Solomon. You know, David, you read about David, how David loved God and did everything. And you'd guess that, you know, Solomon actually knew about all this. It says, now Solomon brought the daughter of Pharaoh up from the city of David to the house he had built for her. For he said, my wife shall not dwell in the house of David, king of Israel, because the places to which the ark of the Lord has come are holy. And I think to myself, okay, so you don't want your wife to stay here because it is holy. What does that mean? You know what is right. You know that if you don't want your wife to stay there because it is the place is holy, that means there's something wrong with your wife. Then why are you with her? Then why do you have as a wife? Do you see where I'm coming from? We make choices when we know the right things, but yet we still decide to go along with what we want anyway. And sometimes say, well, God understands. I'm guilty of it. I've said it many times before, you know, God understands. But we know what to do. The Bible says that to him that knows to do good and doesn't do it, to him, it's a sin. So if you know what is right and you're not doing it, then to you, it is a sin. You just say, yeah, you know, after all, God understands. God does understand, and he understands that it's a sin. Let us make the right calls. Let us make the right choices. Amen. Jacob was a deceiver. Genesis 27:35. This was Isaac speaking. He said, your brother came with deceit and has taken away your blessings, your blessing. And Esau said to the father, is it not rightly named Jacob? For he has supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and now look, he has taken away my blessing. And he said, have you not reserved a blessing for me? The deceiver. But you know the interesting thing, whether we like it or not, what goes round comes round. You know that, right? What goes round comes round. At some point in that story, Jacob had an encounter with God. But his mother told him to go to his uncle Laban. There's a saying that, you know, it's in pidgin English, "Conny man die, conny man bury him." A con artist dies. Who's going to bury the con artist? Another con artist. You know, there are levels. There are levels of con artists. Jacob met his match in Laban, big time. Jacob met his match in Laban. Who was Laban? Laban was Rebekah's brother. We're not going to go into any details about this, but some of the things Laban did. Jacob wanted to marry Laban's daughter. They agreed a price. Work for me 7 years, and I'll give you my daughter. The guy worked 7 years. At the end of 7 years, what did he do? He swapped sisters. Man, that is hard. So, wedding night, Jacob was all excited. A was meant to go into the room with him. B went into the room. I'm not sure whether I was blindfolded, I don't know. But he woke up in the morning, I was like, this is not the sister I asked for. And Laban was, well, we don't do that, it's customary. You have to, you know, the elder sister has to be married first. Why didn't he tell him that before agreeing that I should work for 7 years? Man. So I worked for 7 years, then after 7 years, now tell me, well, this is not how we do things there. It has to be the other way around. He now said, you know what? Since you've already taken this one, if you agree to work for me another 7 years, then I'll give you the person you actually want. I mean, that's cruel. But then, when you get someone to sell you their birthright just for food, what are you going to get? He worked 14 years just to get what he wanted. It didn't just stop there. It didn't stop there. After a while, Jacob was like, you know, I've been working for you. You know what? give me wages. Don't let me work for you for free. Give me some money or give me some, you know, reward for my labor. He said, Jacob was a shepherd. Jacob was a shepherd. Most of us will be familiar with sheep and, you know, goats and all that. And Jacob said, you know what? All the goats, all the sheep that have specks on them, that are not, you know, a uniform color. So if they're not white, separate them. I'll look after the pure breeds. So anything that's not a pure breed, separate them. And, you know, my wages will be this. When these animals keep giving birth, if there's anyone that is not a pure breed, that'll be my wage. That'll be my reward. I'm sure Laban would have thought, excellent. So Laban took his time, separated all the pure breeds from the ones that had specks or colored. He told his own sons, say, take all the speckled ones. 3 days' journey from where Jacob was. Now, no automobile transport. 3 days' walking distance. Take them as far away as possible so there'll be no chance of, you know, crossbreeding. Do you see where he's coming from? He actually wanted Jacob to work for free. A schemer met another schemer. When two schemers meet, what happens? But as God would have it, that's a story for another day. But Jacob devised some, I don't know, there's no scientific explanation. Honestly, I've been looking at that story. I haven't found a scientific explanation. If you have, please let me know. Maybe Brother Charles, with your PhD in botanical, maybe you can explain how you can cut, you know, stripes on a stick and put it in front of an animal. And the animal starts giving birth to, you know, striped animals or whatever. But yeah, that was what happened. Jacob was deceived. And it didn't happen once. So what goes round comes round. Galatians 6:7 says, don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever you sow, you'll reap. Big time. Whatever you sow, you'll reap. And that's life. But Jacob had a turning point. He had a turning point in Genesis chapter 32, verse 22. Jacob wanted to sleep and he encountered God again. This time wasn't a passing thing. Let's read from verse 22. Genesis 32. It says, and he arose that night and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons, and crossed over the ford of Jabbok. He took them, sent them over the brook, and sent over what he had. Then Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. Now, when he saw that he did not prevail against him, he touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaks." But he said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." So he said to him, "What is your name?" He said, "Jacob." And he said, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have wrestled with God and with men and have prevailed." That was Jacob's turning point. He said, "You've wrestled with God and with men." You can imagine your the way I try to explain is, you know, when people grapple, you wrestling. That it's WWE, World Wrestling Entertainment. I remember when they used to call it World Wrestling Federation. But everything is staged. And you see these guys jumping and flying, and you're thinking, wow, they've killed him. And a week later, he's back talking, and they carry all this. But Jacob was grappling with a man. Well, he thought he was a man. But at some point in that incident, you can imagine if all night you're engaged in a struggle and it happens. Praise the Lord. The Bible says that even though weeping endures through the night, surely joy comes in the morning. Jacob saw himself in a battle. They were fighting, literally fighting. And as the day was about breaking, the man, capital M, as some Bible put it, said, "You know what, let me go." I said, "No, I'm not going to let you go." Why would he be saying to a mere man, "I'm not going to let you go unless you bless me"? During the course of the night, he had a revelation that he was not dealing with any ordinary man. He realized that this was no ordinary human being I'm with. And I was like, "You know what? I'm not letting you go. You have to bless me." Yeah, we've been at it all night. You want to go? You're not going anywhere until you bless me. He wrestled with God. He prevailed. And God said, "You know what? Your name is Jacob. Okay, we're going to change that around. We're going to turn it around. You're no longer going to be called Jacob. You're going to be called Israel. Because you've been facing challenges with men. You've faced God. You've wrestled with me. And you've prevailed. You're a ruler among men." And that was the turning point for Jacob. He started as a clay jar. But God came into that clay jar and turned him around. Someone else that had a similar turning point. We only read pretty much a verse of the scriptures or a couple of verses about him. Was Jabez. In 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 to 11. It says, "Now Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, 'Because I bore him in pain.' And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, 'Oh, that you will bless me indeed, and enlarge my territory, that your hand will be with me, that you keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain.'" It says, "So God granted him what he requested." So God granted him what he requested. That was a turning point. 5 points that Jabez asked for. And said, God granted to him. Jacob was like, "You know what? I'm not letting you go unless you bless me." And he was blessed. His name was changed. His life was turned around. So for every individual, like I said, if you're a Jacob, there's an Israel in you. There's one that prevails. There's one that is a prince with God. God is in the business of turning things around. Of yourself, you cannot do it. It might look like a simple clay jar, but with God, you're way more than that. Whatever the challenges, whatever the past, Like we said, you're not determined by your past. You're not defined by the circumstances of your birth. If you have not encountered that turning point, you need Jesus Christ. You need to have that turning point. And you might have, because like we're saying, with Jacob, this wasn't the first time he was meeting with God. Before he went to the house of Laban, he met with God. But did that make much of a difference? Maybe not. Shall we rise to our feet? Are you like Jacob? Are you like Jabez before he prayed? God is willing to grant your request. God is willing to give you a turning point. God is willing to take you from what men might have called you to make you to be a prince, a ruler, a princess with him. To make you a Sarah, to make you an Israel. Shall we just say a word of prayer? Pray for yourself this afternoon. Just pray for yourself. Lord, you know my circumstances. Lord, you know where I'm at. Have you been struggling? Have you been trying to do it by yourself? Peradventure, you're aware of what God has said about you. You're aware of what he said he will do for you. But are you trying to put God's plan in place for him? Why don't you let him have his way? Why don't you yield to him? The scripture says, you know, in Proverbs 3, the 5th and the 6th verse, that, you know, you should trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean on your understanding. If you acknowledge him in all your ways, he will direct your path. That is his word. What are you going through? Why don't you just hand it over to the Lord? Trust him with all your heart. Why don't you give all to him? Let him have his way. Pray for yourself that, you know, your past would not come to haunt your future. We said this morning that if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away and all things have become new. So you're not governed, you're not determined by your past, you're not determined by where you're coming from. What defines you is who you are in Christ Jesus and how you've chosen to walk with him and in him. So trust him with all your heart. Let him have his way. And you'll surely see that turning point. You'll surely see it. You'll surely see the change for good. And so, Heavenly Father, we bless your holy name this morning or this afternoon. We give you praise, O God. We thank you, Lord, because the thoughts you have towards us, they're thoughts of good, not of evil. To give us a future, to give us a hope, to bring us to the expected end that you have decided for us. Father, we pray that we will not miss out in your plan for us in the name of Jesus. Lord, the grace to walk in your will and your way we receive for each and every one of us in the mighty name of Jesus. Your word says that the path of the just shines brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. Lord, may our paths shine brighter for you in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for a new week we've entered. We come this week into your hand. for all our students that are returning, for all the new students that are coming. We pray, O Lord, that it will be a fruitful week in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, that you grant us a testimony, something to be grateful for, something to be thankful for in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we pray that as we go through this week, your praises will not cease from our lips in the mighty name of Jesus. Perfect everything that concerns, O God. As we trust in you, O God, and not lean on our understanding, we ask, O God, that you direct our paths in Jesus' name. We give you all the praise, Father, for we pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.